Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for your word. And we thank you for this difficult passage that speaks to us in our hurt. And we ask that as we look at it and think about it, you would fill our hearts with faith in you and your Son Jesus, that we may hear your word and see the example of Jonah and then forgive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, I wonder if you've ever been angry at God. There are a host of reasons why someone might get angry at God. Sometimes it's because of a loved one who has suffered terribly. Or sometimes a loved one who has died. Or sometimes it's because someone has gotten away with great injustice. Or sometimes it's because someone has been hurt by a Christian. Sometimes it's because their life has been particularly hard and particularly painful. And sometimes people are angry at God because they've prayed for years and years that a loved one would turn to Christ and they haven't. There are a lot of reasons why people get angry at God. And one question to express that anger, why? Why did this happen? Why didn't you? Or why did you? Why? Sometimes it seems to us as if God has made a mistake. Or worse, that he's actually done the wrong thing. And we can't understand why he's done what he's done. And that's exactly how Jonah feels at the end of the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 4. So let's have a look at this passage and understand this anger at God. You can see the anger in all its greatness, if you want, for want of a better word, in verses 1 to 3, where we're told that to Jonah this seemed very wrong. And he became angry and he prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? That is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." Can you feel the pain and the anger of Jonah there? Jonah is so angry with God. And what he's angry about is the decision of God to not punish the city of Nineveh. Nineveh was an evil city that had done great evil and would do now even greater evil, now that God had spared them. Conquest, murder, rape, oppression. The Assyrian Empire had done all these things and now would do even more. Why didn't God just bring an end to this evil city? Why didn't he save the future victims of Nineveh? Especially the people of Israel. Jonah's people, God's people. Jonah attributes this foolish mistake on God's part to a weakness or a flaw in God's character. If you look at verse 2, he points out that it's because of God's gracious and compassionate character. Quoting there from elsewhere in the Old Testament. This is a famous saying that speaks of the character of God. And Jonah knows this character. And he says, that's what's the problem. You are too nice. you're too soft. Or if you like, God's not got the ticker to do the job. You are too merciful, God, says Jonah. And that's why he's angry with God. And friends, this is the scandal of grace. That God would forgive people like the Ninevites when they have repented and believed his message. What about justice, God? And Jonah is not alone. The scandal of grace makes many people angry. How can God forgive those who are so evil just because they repent and trust in Jesus? And it's especially hard to handle when good and decent people in our lives refuse Jesus and die unrepentant and unforgiven. It's a scandal that God often doesn't forgive those who are less evil just because they don't accept Jesus. It just doesn't seem fair. No wonder people are angry at God. So how does God respond to Jonah's anger? Well, he responds with a question. Is it right for you to be angry? You can see how pointed that question is, can't you? Because what God is doing here is pointing out that Jonah doesn't have any right to be angry at God's grace towards Nineveh. It's a rhetorical question. You read that question, you say, oh, of course not, is the correct answer. There is no right for Jonah to be angry. And there's no right for Jonah to be angry because he was the recipient of God's grace in chapters 1 and 2. You remember that incident with the slightly large fish? That incident where he was saved from death was grace. Jonah deserved to die. Jonah knows this. But God's grace was given to him. And he was saved. That very same grace that saved guilty Jonah is exactly the grace that saves guilty Nineveh. Is it fair that Jonah should receive grace and mercy and Nineveh not receive it? Jonah doesn't have a leg to stand on. He has no right to be angry, for he was the recipient of grace. And friends, we can't say that God is unfair in forgiving really evil people of this world when they repent and put their trust in Jesus if he has forgiven us. For the very same grace of God that saves guilty us is what saves guilty them. Like Jonah, we have no right to complain about God and his grace. And we can't really complain about our friends and family who don't believe. For the offer of forgiveness and salvation is there for them. And they are responsible to take up that offer of salvation by trusting in Jesus. If they choose to reject God's lifeline, then we don't have a right to be angry at God. And just to emphasize the point that we humans shouldn't be the ones who decides punishment and forgiveness, God points out the paucity of Jonah's wisdom in the following verses, in verses 5 to 11, and indeed of all human wisdom. So this is the story about the vine. The whole point of this story is to show how woeful is Jonah's ability to justly decide on punishment and mercy for Nineveh. You see, the vine that grows up to shade Jonah's head is just a plant. Yet Jonah cares more about that plant than about the 120,000 souls of Nineveh and all the animals in Nineveh. Surely they are more important than a plant. Jonah's wisdom and justice are sadly lacking, and they are shown up by the contrast with God's wisdom and justice and grace. Friends, if it were us who had control over who gets forgiveness and who doesn't, do you think for a moment that we would judge justly? Would we do better than God if we held the keys to heaven instead of him? As it says in 1 Corinthians, which we read earlier, the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Friends, God does have the ticket to do the job, and it is far better to have salvation in his hands than in our hands. For you can be sure that if we had control, then we would make a great big mess of it. It is just as well that we don't get to decide who gets forgiven and who enters heaven. Some things are better left in God's hands. And so let us leave the judging to him. But friends, our passage leaves us at one point, and I'd like to take us to the New Testament to look at another passage. It's from Luke 15, and it's part of the parable of the prodigal son. And it gives us another reason why it's a good thing for us to forgive. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." Ouch. This is the back end of the parable of the prodigal son. And we, for obvious reasons, tend to focus on the wonderful grace that the father has on the son who is lost, which is a wonderful metaphor for the grace of God for sinful people like us. But this section of that parable is the sting in the tail of the parable. And here the older brother is the metaphor for the lesser sinner, that is, the respectable person, the decent person, the nice person, who thinks that God shouldn't have grace on that worse person over there. And when the older brother says these words, he is standing outside the feast, excluding himself. And the parable ends with the older brother still outside. And you don't know at the end of the parable if he's going to relent and come inside. It's a stunning illustration of that passage in Matthew 6:15 where it says, if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That is, if you have the person of faith who trusts Jesus and has experienced grace, will eventually forgive others as well. It may take them some time because it's hard. Especially when we've been hurt really hard. But because of our faith in Jesus, we will forgive. And in the same way as the brother is outside and we don't know if he's going to come in or not, We don't know where Jonah is at the end of the book of Jonah either. In fact, I once had a pastor come to me when I was young and say to me that he doesn't know if Jonah will be in heaven. And I have to say I was stunned when I thought about that, because he's a prophet. Now, surely the prophets will be in heaven. And yet the more that I thought about it, the more I understood what he was saying. Yes, Jonah is a prophet of God, but he is in danger of hell if he continues to not forgive the Ninevites. And I think as we get to the end of the book of Jonah, we have to say, along with that pastor, we don't know. It's kind of left hanging there, isn't it? And you look at it and you go, oh, I wonder if Jonah's going to be there in heaven. Is he going to get it and forgive the Ninevites as God has forgiven them? And that being left hanging there is deliberate, because the writer of Jonah wants us to put ourselves in Jonah's shoes and ask the question of ourselves. Will we be angry at God because of his grace towards our enemies, the people who have hurt us? Will we refuse to forgive and so be people of unbelief who are not forgiven ourselves? Or will we forgive even our enemies, which is exactly what God has done for us? Brothers and sisters, we can't complain if God gives grace to the evil when that very same grace is what has saved us. We don't have a right to be angry, just as Jonah didn't have a right to be angry. And we ought to acknowledge that it is much better that God decides the criteria on who enters heaven than we decide that criteria. For his foolishness is better than our wisdom. So, brothers and sisters, let us leave our anger against God behind us. Instead, let us focus our thoughts on trying to fathom the depths of God's grace towards us. For as we do that, we will be filled with the same compassion and mercy that God does, has. And we will forgive others because we have been forgiven. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your grace. We thank you that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. We thank you that you are a God who relents from sending calamity. We thank you that you are who you are. And we thank you that your grace has saved us through your Son Jesus and his death for us on the cross. Thank you. And we pray that by your Holy Spirit, you would open our hearts and change them, that our hearts may be like your heart, and that we too may forgive others who have hurt and injured us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, once again, let me say that if you have found this a hard passage, join the club to some extent, because I find it hard, because I've been hurt. But if you want to talk more about it, then I'm only too keen to chat. So give me a call or a text or come up to me after the service, and we'll chat about Jonah 4 and the scandal of grace.